Good morning. We hear at the end of most of the litanies of the church, the deacon encourage us, let us commend ourselves and each other and all our life unto Christ our God. And to this we all respond, to thee, O Lord, I commend myself, my whole life, unto Christ our God. But what is it that we mean, commend my whole life? Well, the epistle today sheds a little light on what this actually means. It expands it a little bit. We hear, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watching, hunger. In all of these things, as servants of God, with great endurance. This is what we mean when we say, I commend myself, my whole self. After this past year, speaking of troubles and hardships, after this past year, we know a thing or two about these things, certainly more than we did most of us before. Struggles and hardships, difficulties in our life, these are very uncomfortable and distasteful things. Things that we spend the majority of our life trying to avoid, or at the very least, lessen. We avoid it at all costs, and we invent ever more creative ways of trying to make our lives even more simple, easier. However, a little struggle can be a very good thing. It's through struggle that we grow and become stronger. We learn from our mistakes and realize what we're actually capable of. It's through difficulty that we see those areas that we are lacking and are then, as a result, able to work on them, to better ourselves by God's grace. And we have, there's examples of this all throughout God's creation. I picked two of them to remind you of today. A caterpillar entering its cocoon is then broken down as it goes through the process of metamorphosis. Now, this word metamorphosis comes from the Greek word, which, when Christ goes through his own metamorphosis, we translate it as transfiguration. It's that same word, transfiguration and metamorphosis. So this caterpillar is transfigured in the cocoon in order to become what God made it. It first has to be broken down. And in order to emerge, this new butterfly has to struggle to get the cocoon open. And the struggle is necessary and helpful for the life of this butterfly. The act of squeezing out of this little tiny hole that it has made helps to force blood into its wings to allow them to function. And if you were to help this little butterfly by cutting open the cocoon, very, very likely it would die. You would have killed it. The butterfly needs the struggle in order to live, in order to be what God made it to be. We have another excellent example, perhaps a more vivid example, in a piece of metal ore. When you find metal out in the world, when it's mined, it is usually filled with little impurities here and there, bits of dirt and stone, maybe other metals. And these impurities weaken its structure. It's not as strong. And yet, when it's refined, when it's put into the fire and melted down, all of these impurities are burned away. They disappear. And that metal, when it cools, is not only more pure, but is also much stronger. And the same is true of the Christian life. These difficulties that we endure are uncomfortable. I certainly don't like hardships. I don't like frustrations at all. You can ask my family. And yet, the struggle that we go through when we are weakened by sin is necessary for us to grow in Christ. And it's not an easy struggle, usually. But if we rely on Christ rather than our own strength, we are built up in the faith. If we rely on Christ rather than our own efforts, our own wisdom, we have nothing to fear or be anxious of. When Christ instructed the people on the Mount not to be anxious for anything, he identified a very strong passion that is as much present today as it was back then. For some reason, we love to worry. We run through scenarios in our head, all the what-ifs. We hold imagined conversations with other people, ourselves playing both parts, and we worry. We go immediately to the worst-case scenario. At least, I sometimes do, and I've heard of others. And this is not necessary, nor is it very helpful at all. And yet, Christ's instruction to not be anxious or worry for anything doesn't mean that just have faith and God will make it all happen for you. You know, everything's not going to fall perfectly into your lap, as much as we would like that. That would be like cutting that cocoon open too early. We need the struggle. If you need a job, make every effort to find a job. But don't worry. Trust God. If you're going through some other struggle, don't let anxiety take over you. Ask God for His wisdom and guidance, His help. Have faith that He will see you through it. But when you do this, know that He will answer your prayer. He will give you His guidance, His wisdom, His help, which is often not what we envision. In all things, look to Christ. Don't despair in difficulty, but be hopeful. God is preparing you, all of us, each of us, for eternal life. And in this way, together with the saints, as we heard today, we are punished, yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, yet possessing everything. And this is true because our hope is not in material comforts or human efforts, but in God and His kingdom. In all things, seek God's kingdom first, not second, not as a backup when your efforts don't pan out, not as a last resort, but seek Him first. You know, when I get sick, my first inclination tends to be make tea, take my temperature. If I have a really high fever, maybe take some Tylenol and go to sleep. But my first inclination should be make the sign of the cross, ask God's blessing on me, ask for his healing, and then go do those other things. We tend to have it backwards. Now, there are lots of examples in the scripture of other people who, like me, often don't trust God the way that they should. We see Abraham, when he received the promise from God that he would receive a son, and that that son would have his own sons, and then his own sons, and descendants as many as the sand, he got impatient. And he and his wife's old age, still being childless, they decided to take matters into their own hand, and Abraham took his wife's servant girl, and with her bore a son, Ishmael. But this was not God's promise for him. Ishmael was not the promised son. And yet even in Abraham and Sarah's lack of trust in God, God was still faithful to them. He gave them a son according to his plan. And through this son, Isaac, came Jacob and all the tribes of Israel, eventually resulting in a young girl named Mary, who gave birth to God in the flesh. Through Isaac, according to the promise, not through Abraham's own efforts. We also see this example in the juxtaposition of Eve and the Virgin Mary. Eve fell to temptation, doubting God's word and not trusting in his care for her, eating the fruit that she was not yet ready to receive. And Mary, on the other hand, trusted God's word and was obedient to it. And because of this, as we read in the Gospel of Luke, all nations call her blessed. God became human, took on our humanity. He became like us so that we might also become like him. And this is salvation, to become like him more and more each and every day. We cannot look at ourselves honestly and consider ourselves good enough. There's always more work to be done. Even the holiest people who we are surrounded with on our walls, even these struggled until the end to orient themselves and reorient themselves toward Christ. To be a Christian is not a spectator sport. It's not that we were once baptized and now get to sit back and relax and enjoy the show. That's not it at all. This would be like the caterpillar entering the cocoon and staying there, never becoming what God created it to be, convincing itself this is far enough, or picking up a piece of gold full of impurities, and despite its many flaws, claiming that it is perfect and pure. We'd be kidding ourselves. We are Christians in progress. You know, Father Thomas Hopko and many others, Father Alexander Schmemann, would say in answer to the question, are you saved? I was saved, I am being saved, and I hope to be saved. Well, I have another question. Are we Christians? Am I a Christian? And in that same vein, I am a Christian. I am constantly becoming a Christian, and I hope to live up to to the name of Christian. A little Christ with a clear and undistorted reflection of him in whose image I was made. Now we're about to embark upon a common struggle in our Narthex project. This is something we've been praying for and working for, struggling for years and years and years, far before I came. And we have a ways to go. It'll take time, it'll take money, blood, sweat, tears maybe, certainly patient endurance. There will be frustrations along the way, mostly when things get delayed or don't go as we would hope they would. And in those moments, we have the opportunity to say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. To give thanks and look for how we are being strengthened or purified in this struggle. In the end, as with ourselves and our spiritual lives, it is our struggle against our own imperfections. It will, if we continue that struggle, result in a beautiful creation for the glory of God. Amen.